welcome to this refresher podcast on guided discovery. Our purpose here is to provide you with a quick review, a fast cycle reminder, and perhaps a few new thoughts and perspectives on the content of the guided discovery module. Focus on this podcast for the next 10 minutes or so, and you'll come away with some renewed thoughts on how to truly influence the way the customer looks at their particular situation and challenges in a way that favors your solution and on your own value to the customer, independent of your particular products and services. So let's start by defining guided discovery and differentiating this from listen and learn. Guided discovery is the process of influencing the customer's perceptions of and perspectives on their situation in a way that raises the visibility and explores the value of the relative strengths of our recommended solution. Well, that's quite a mouthful, so let's first break it down and then talk through each of the elements of the process. First, this is a discovery process, not a recommending one. And yes, this is a deliberate process to influence the way the customer thinks about their situation, but by staying in discovery still, not yet making a recommendation. So it is about raising visibility and exploring potential areas of value through the questions that you ask and the areas that you choose to focus on. So why not just shift to confirming and then recommending once we're through listen and learn discovery? Well, first, you may be able to do just that in some situations. When you're confident that all of the key decision makers at the customer sees their situation and challenges exactly the way you would like them to, and when you are certain you understand the customer's competitive alternatives, and you have significant competitive advantage over the customer's competitive alternatives, and you are sure that they assign significant value to most of your competitive advantages, and I think I'll stop right there. In most customer campaigns, for most of us, we have to work to create our advantage. You won't find everyone and everything lined up perfectly to your advantage in most of the situations. In fact, if you think you do, you ought to be suspicious, as it's a rare occurrence. We believe that this guided discovery process is really where the expert salespeople set themselves apart. The very concept of guided discovery originated in a project years ago. We were joint calling with the top three or four salespeople from several clients at the same time. During those calls, it eventually became hard not to see the pattern in what these experts were doing. They were shifting their discovery against different competitive alternatives and towards what they knew to be their particular strengths against those alternatives. You got the sense from watching these meetings that the customer really was covering unplowed ground, that they were being asked questions about things they hadn't considered before, and in more than a few cases, took action items for their own internal discovery. In addition, these top sales reps were remarkably conscious of what they were doing. In the debriefs after the meeting, they were very articulate about their strategy and tactics and could tell us not just what they were doing, but also why. So what is required for this successful guided discovery? First, you need to have done a good job with your listen and learn discovery, because much of what you'll need to work with during this point of the process is derived from good listen and learn discovery. You need to be clear as to what the customer is considering as alternative courses of action in addition to your recommended solution. In some campaigns, this will be clear and simple, and in others, not so much. Yet knowing this is important, as while you position your solution for a particular customer's particular situation, expert salespeople know that you position your solution against a particular competitive alternative at the same time. In addition to direct competitors, there are always two classes of competitive alternatives that you need to make sure you have evaluated, as they are very frequently overlooked. Sometimes we get so focused on our direct competition, we overlook the indirect ones. The first of these two classes of competitive alternatives is the status quo, what the customer has in place today to address the problems and challenges for which we want to provide a solution. In many customer campaigns, this is the primary competitive alternative, and almost always the case where you initiate the campaign, where you bring them the idea and they're helping them explore its potential value to them. The status quo is a very powerful competitive alternative. Think about this for a moment. While their current solution might not be ideal, might be more costly than other solutions, and even might be problematic and even annoying, It is in place, and at some level, it works. Unplugging the current solution and introducing a new one has risks of some level associated with it. In addition, the current solution was chosen and supported by decision makers, some of whom may be in the very room with which you'd like to present your own solution. How many of your own campaigns end in a no decision? In a majority of those cases, you lost the business to the status quo. The second kind of competitive alternative is a different approach to the problem, not just a different solution. An approach alternative is a higher order choice that determines all those lower order ones that follow. Let's consider a couple of examples. If you are selling information or data services or consulting,